I caught myself saying it just the other day. It's something that you say as well. It's something that we say when we feel like things aren't going to change. It's what we say when we think that something is outside of our power, outside of our ability to do anything about. It's something that the people on this video spent a lot of time saying, something that we all experience. We say, that's just life. Right? You woke up Tuesday morning and it was snowing. It's just life. Police are not in the playoffs again. That's life. Gas prices are at a new high. That's life. It's one of the ways that we accept the way that things are. Sometimes that's good. Things are going well. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's just the routine of life. We say it about work. I get up. I go to work. I do the same thing every week. There's highs. There's lows. I come home. I get a paycheck. That's life. Sometimes we say it about things that bother us a little bit more, things that are really difficult in life. We say it about sickness. When sickness comes into our family or into our own lives, sometimes we're not sure what to do, and we say, oh, it's life. It's part of life. Sometimes we say it about our shortcomings, the things that we're not good at, the things that we failed to do, the regrets in our lives, and we say, hey, that's life. There's nothing I can do about it. We say it about our families, our parenting, our marriages, our divorces, the struggles we have with relationships. We say, ah, that's life. Sometimes we say it about morality. You know, I go out there and I try and do a little more good than I do bad. I try and be a good person. I try and treat people well. And that's life. And when we say that's life, we use it as an excuse or a tool in order for us to get used to the status quo. In order for us in some way to accept what is and what we feel like we can't change or what we know won't change. And the reality is for many of us, we're living in light of two things. One, we're living in light of our circumstances. We're living in light of how things are going at the time. It's a tough way to live, isn't it? I mean, sometimes it's great. Sometimes we're at the top. Sometimes everything is going right, whether it's at work or in our family. Things just seem to click. And then we ride the roller coaster, and things aren't going so well anymore. And our circumstances go up and down, and we ride that emotional roller coaster of life. And sometimes we say, hey, that is just life. That's the way it is. Secondly, and maybe more importantly, we live according to who we think we are. We live according to our identity. Sometimes we look at our identity, who we see ourselves as. We define ourselves in those ways, and we think there's no changing that. There's no power to change that. We are who we are. That's just life. And some of us, we're defined by all kinds of things. We're defined by what other people think of us, the expectations that other people have on us, whether it's our parents, whether it's our spouse, whether it's family members, or whether it's culture. Some of us, we define ourselves, our identity is built on the money that we have or don't have. We think that the numbers in our bank account is what gives us our worth and our identity. For some of us, it's our sexual identity. For others, it might be your marital status. It could be your job. This is who I am. This is me. And for many of us, when it comes to our identity, who we are, who we see ourselves as, what we see our life is all about, we say, hey, that's just life. And we get up each week, each day, and we continue in that routine. We continue struggling with our circumstances, sometimes struggling with our identity, and we say, this is life. This is what there is. But this morning on Easter Sunday, the question I want to ask is, what if we weren't satisfied with this list, our identities, our circumstances? What if there's something more? And that's what Easter is. Easter is an invitation to experience what life should be, not just what life is, not just those times where we say, hey, I can't change it, I can't do anything about it, this is just life, but instead, Easter invites us to experience life the way that it should be, the way that it could be. Imagine it, for a minute. Just imagine what life could be like. Imagine that you had a peace deep down within you, that even when your circumstances aren't so good, even when life is a roller coaster, you felt this strange security deep in your heart. Imagine where your money wasn't just a number in your bank account, but that your money meant something and made a difference in the world. Imagine a life where you experienced and gave love that was unconditional. Imagine that you could find a new start. Imagine an existence, a life, that mattered and made a difference, not just for the few decades that we live, but beyond that. Imagine that you could find a way to be forgiven for your past. Take care of any guilt that you might have. Imagine the work that you do each and every day, whether it's at home, whether it's in the marketplace, whether it's at school, wherever it is. Imagine it impacted more than just the bottom line of a company. Just marks on a paper. Just laundry going through the machines. Imagine a life where you're not defined by your failures, your money, whether you have it or you don't, your sexual identity, the number of degrees you have, your marital status, but instead by the way that you experience God. Imagine a life where death did not have the final word. Easter is an invitation to everyone to experience life as it should be. Now, maybe you find this hard to believe. Maybe you find it hard to believe that there could be a change like that. Maybe you find it hard to believe that for you, that could happen. Then Easter is for you. Easter is the representation of a God who is loving and powerful and has given us all the opportunity to experience him in new life. Do you know, maybe you've come here this morning and somebody's invited you and you have some assumptions about Jesus. You don't know everything, but there's a few common assumptions that a lot of us come to church with or come to Jesus with. I just want to talk about them because I want to talk about the fact that 2,000 years after Jesus' life, we're all sitting here talking about him at Easter. And I want to tell you why that is. Some of you maybe have come with the assumption, many of us do, that Jesus was a really good teacher. Some of us have the assumption that if everybody lived the way that Jesus taught, the world would be a better place. Some of you have perhaps come and you thought, you know, it would be good for my kids to get a little bit of religion. It would be good for my kids to hear about Jesus so that they're better people. All true. But that's not why we're here today. It's not why we're talking about Jesus 2,000 years after his life. On Good Friday, we talked about the fact that Jesus died on the cross. Do you know we're not here today talking about Jesus 2,000 years later because Jesus died on the cross? It wasn't because he was a good teacher. There have been many good teachers in history, many people who have taught us important things about life. In fact, there are many people who died on Roman crosses, all kinds of people. The reason why we're here 2,000 years later talking about Jesus is because of the claim that Jesus rose from the dead. The reason we're talking about Jesus 2,000 years after his life is because his closest followers claimed, believed to have seen Jesus rise from the dead. And then more crowds, and then more people. And I'll tell you this, that if it's true, if that statement is true, that one statement is true, that in the man Jesus Christ, God conquered death, that is the most powerful statement, most powerful event in all of human history. And it makes a difference for each and every one of us. And that's why Easter is an invitation to experience life the way that it should be. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. Now, I get it. I've just said that. If you're new to church, if you've been invited here, if you're not really a Jesus follower, maybe you're here for the Easter egg hunt later and the breakfast before. That's awesome. We're thrilled that you're here. And you say, that claim is pretty far-fetched. The claim that a man rose from the dead is pretty hard to believe. You'd have to imagine that in 2014, in a society that we live in, for someone to be expected to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that you got to be kidding. Haven't we got away from that ancient culture that believes in stuff like that? People do not rise from the dead. And if that's what you think and believe, and you've come because maybe you think Jesus was a good teacher and the world could use a little bit of what he taught, and that's all partially true, you're in good company. Because on the first Easter Sunday, Jesus' followers, they went to find him. They went to the tomb where he was buried after they saw him crucified. And a bunch of these ladies went, and they're looking for Jesus, and there's the tomb and this big stone, and it was rolled away, and they look in the tomb, and Jesus wasn't there. and they were told miraculously that Jesus has risen from the dead. And they went and they told Jesus' closest followers. And this quote comes from the book of Luke, which is a book. Luke said, I went to the people who actually claimed to have seen Jesus. And when he wrote, in the first century, those people were still around. He said, you can go ask them. This is what they believe, and this is what they're willing to die for. And here's what he said. The ladies went, and they went to tell Jesus' closest friends, the people who had been following him for the last 3 years. They left the tomb and broke the news of all of this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles. But the apostles didn't believe a word of it, thought they were making it all up. You know why? Because it's hard to believe that a man who is dead could come back to life. And his followers on that first Easter Sunday after Jesus had been crucified, these ladies come to him and say, Jesus is risen. He is alive. And they couldn't believe it. Why should they believe it? People don't come back from the dead. They thought they were making it up. They had resigned themselves to saying, that's just life. We followed this teacher around, and he was a great teacher, and lots of people followed him, and now he's gone. He's dead. He was our hope, and we thought that he was going to free us. We thought he was going to liberate us. We thought he was going to give us real life. And then he died on a cross. He was executed. And they'd resigned themselves to saying, that's life. Can't change it. Story's over. And then these ladies come to him and say, no, he's risen. He's not in the tomb anymore. Jesus is alive. And they, like many of us, couldn't believe it until Jesus showed up. And these men who saw Jesus, who claimed to have seen him risen after he was dead, they claimed that Jesus came and showed his wounds of where they nailed him to the cross. They claimed to see him alive after he was dead. Many of them giving their lives because they were martyred, they were killed for insisting that this Jesus had risen, that this Jesus was their God, that their allegiance was to him and to him only. That Jesus showed up to them. And he said, this is Jesus. And you can only imagine, can't you? Can you only imagine your teacher, the one you've been following, just 2 days, you know, on Friday, you saw him crucified. On Sunday, you're standing there looking at him alive, and you say, what on earth could he say? He said, you can see how it is written that the Messiah suffers, speaking of himself, Jesus, rises from the dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting from here. Easter is when Jesus says to us, there's a new kind of life available. And here's how it goes. From Jesus, who has conquered death, he says there's a new way life available, new way of life, a total life change. It's the answer to that question when we say, is this just what life is? Jesus says there's a new total life change available to you, to those who will follow Jesus. And that's why we showed you that video. That's why we had some of the people around here get on video and tell you about what their life was like without Jesus. And then tell you what it looks like to trust their life into the hands of Jesus. To find true life. Not just an escape from circumstances. We all know that we all go through difficult circumstances, hard times. But instead to find in the midst of those circumstances a new identity. To say things don't always have to be the same. There's a shot at new life. Why do we believe that there's power in that? Why is there a chance for me? Because if it's true that Jesus conquered death, then in that is the power for all of us to have new life. What does it mean in the resurrection? What does it mean that Jesus Christ conquered death? It means this, that our present life is not valueless because we will die. God will raise us to new life. What you do now in this present matters because God has a future in store for us. Whatever we do, whether it's raising children, whether it's working, singing, praying, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poetry, caring for the needy, just loving your neighbor as you love yourself, it means that it will last. In God's future, into God's future, that he will use what we do and who we are. And people who follow Jesus are supposed to be a sign and a foretaste of what God wants us to, what God wants to do for the entire universe, to bring love and restoration to every spot that needs it. And more than that, people who follow Jesus are not just to be a sign and foretaste of ultimate hope. They are to be part of the means by which God makes this happen in both the present and the future. Understand this. Christians are not people who are perfect. We're not people who have it all together, who know all the answers, who don't struggle, who don't fail, who don't make mistakes. But we're people who rest in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who have surrendered our lives because we believe that in that we have found true life. We have found something better. And as you look around at your life and you say, hey, that's just life. And sometimes it's probably really good. Sometimes it might not be so good. A lot of times for many of us in our culture, it's just kind of okay. I'm doing okay. If I'm not fighting with my husband or wife this week, it's okay. If we pay the bills this month, and we're doing okay, and that's just life. We're looking for Mr. Right or Ms. Right, hoping that that person will bring us that love. And we say, that's just life. But Easter is an invitation to a new kind of life, to the way that life should be, could be. It's purpose in our present. It's hope for the future, and it's forgiveness for our past. It's invited into an invitation into relationship with God himself. And maybe you find it really hard to believe today. And I get it, because it is. But listen, if you've come today, maybe somebody's invited you and you're not used to all of this, and you find it pretty hard to grasp that God would come into this world, die, and then be risen from the dead. And you say, you know, it all sounds great, but that's hard to believe. If that's you, let me ask you this. Isn't there part of you that wants it to be true? Isn't there part of you that looks at your life, and again, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes it just is what it is, and you say, that's just life. Doesn't part of you long for there to be something better? Long for you to find true identity that doesn't waver based on circumstances? Isn't there part of you that wishes there was a God that loved you so much to die for you, to care for you, and to invite you into the best kind of life that you could ever experience? This is just the way life is, to be disrupted and to be given a chance at something more. I want to tell you something. If you've been invited here by a friend, if somebody's brought you, asked you to come here and show up, I want to tell you why. It's because whoever it is invited you, whoever here is wanted you here, has got a taste of that kind of life. They have a story like someone that you saw on the video. Not the same, maybe not as dramatic as some of them, but they have a story of when God touched their life and invited them into new life. And the reason why they've invited you here this morning is because they want you to know about that invitation. They want you to know that there's more to life. They want you to know that you can find identity in a God who loves you and has called you to be his son or his daughter, to know his unconditional love, to know a new kind of life, to find forgiveness, to find purpose, to find hope for the future, not just in this life, but for all of eternity. Easter is the invitation to experience this new life, the way that life could be. And I want to invite you, if you're new here today, if you've just been invited by somebody and you dropped in, if some of this has gone off on you and this just seems like you need to know more, would you talk to the person who brought you, the person who asked you to come here? Ask them to tell you what it's all about. Ask them what their journey has been like. Ask them how you could experience that as well. We want to invite you to come back. We're here every Sunday morning, 11:15. And if this is a place you want to come and ask questions, you want to journey with us, that's what we're doing every week, is journeying with Jesus Christ in our relationships with God together in community. It's hard to believe we're a group of people in 2014 that are gathered here together because we believe that God stepped into this world and became a man. And though he was dead, came back to life. But what if it's true? Changes everything. What if it's true? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you on a day like today that we can come and we know that we serve a God who is alive, that you love us and care for us. Lord, it's an amazing thing that we believe. Lord, I pray for those who have come today, and maybe this is the first time they've heard a message like this. Maybe it's the thousandth, that perhaps today might be a time where they understand how much you love them and what you're offering them. Lord, I pray that some might want to journey with you and find out more about Jesus Christ. God, that this might be a place where we point people towards you and towards real, true life. And so, God, we again thank you. Thank you for the cross, and thank you for the resurrection. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.